Morning.
Morning.
We will be looking this morning at Joshua's chapter 13 and chapter 14. We have been looking at the nation of Israel move into the land that God has promised them. And they have had a series of successes that have allowed them to be able to claim or have access to claim some of the land that God has promised them. Now, in chapter 13, God points out that there is still yet some land for them to claim. We see God has blessed the nation of Israel and blessed Joshua to be able to finally lay claim to what they were meant to receive. The first several chapters gives us a picture of how God deals with his people as they face various battles and challenges. I'd like to use the subject of this morning's message, the land that yet remains. Looking at chapter 13, and 13, verse 1 says, "Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, 'You are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed.'" Now, he said to Joshua, "You're old." He didn't say that you were older than dirt or anything like that. And he didn't say that you're youth deficient. He didn't say that you're a little long in the tooth or geriatric. He just said, "You're old." And just in case you didn't understand that, he says you're advanced in years. Now, chapter 24 lets us know that Joshua died at the age of 110. And so he was, at this point, close to around 100 years old. You know, and so he is getting close to that point where, yes, he is quite old. And apparently, it's not unusual for the followers of God, for God's leaders. If you think about it, Abraham was 75 when God called him to leave Haran. Moses was 80 years old when he led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And most of us will see, you know, in this modern-day time that people seem to get offended if you should call them old. It's like you call them a dirty word or something. Because the truth of the matter is, most of us have gotten to a point where we understand, where we feel like we're younger than we actually are physically. You know, you don't ever feel like you're as old as you really are. You know, when I went to college, when I went to step foot on Southwestern Christian College, I was 33 years old. And I still felt like I was 20. You know, I just still felt like I was a young man. But of course, my age became very clear to me when all the students around me kept calling me sir. Wait, sir? Sir is my father. Sir is my grandfather. Sir is somebody much older than me. But as I've grown older, a little bit older, I have come to appreciate my age. I'm wiser now than I was when I was younger. And I'm okay with looking older now than when I was younger. There's something to be said for the signs of growing older. Every gray, silver, or white hair is proof that you've been through some things. It means that you have experienced the ups and downs of life. And it's proof that you have survived being young. Because the truth of the matter is, not everybody gets to grow old. Some people stop growing at a certain point. I should say, their ability to get older ceases at a certain point. I have lived longer than my sister. My own mother didn't make it past 50 years old. And so you realize that there are some people who don't even make it out of childhood before death calls on them. So it is truly a blessing to make it to an age that can be considered old. If you have gotten to the point where you're past your 60s, especially making it past 2020, you have to consider yourself blessed.
Amen.
God doesn't just bless his leaders to have long lives. God can still use you, and no matter what age you happen to be at. Just because you've gotten older doesn't mean that your life is over. Because in Joshua's case, God calls him old, but right after that, he says, here's what's left to be done. He may not be able to go out to war like he did when he was a young man. When he was 40, he led the nation of Israel in several battles. When he got a little older, he was still in his 80s or late early 90s when they started this whole campaign of getting into the land of Israel. And so he's not as young as he was before. But that does not mean that God has finished using his life.
Amen.
Okay? He didn't say that you're old, so now go sit down in a rocking chair and wait to die. No, as long as you have air in your lungs, you can still be of use for his purpose. I've come to the personal belief that with each day that God blesses me to have in this world, he is blessing me with the opportunity to do his will, giving me the chance to show his love and his kindness by helping someone in need. He has given me the chance to say something to someone that might draw them away from a life of sin and draw them closer to Jesus. And besides all that, God wasn't satisfied with only giving them a part of their inheritance. They had already done a lot. They conquered a lot of land. God had done some many truly amazing things on their behalf, but they still had some land left to receive. He goes on in verse number 2 of Joshua chapter 13. This is the land that yet remains. All the territory of the Philistines and all that of the Geshurites from Sihor, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron, northward, which is counted as Canaanite, the five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkelonites, the Gittites, and the Ekronites, also of the Avites, from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Mira that belongs to the Sidonians, as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gibeonites, and all Lebanon, toward the sunrise from Baal, Gad, below Mount Hermon, as far as the entrance to Hamath. Now we know for a fact that they were still battling the Philistines up until David's time. Because Goliath was himself a Philistine. They never did. Even to this day, Lebanon is in the hands of the Palestinians. And so you see that they never really truly accomplished everything that they were meant to do. He fully intended to give them everything he promised. And that's important because that says a lot about God and his heart. Now, of course, they still have to do their part, but God is committed to fulfilling his word. He had come out for them in a big way, more than he had done for any other nation on the planet. So it would be easy for some of them to get comfortable where they were and with what they had already had. He had given them a part of their blessing, but there was still more to come. When we look at our walk, with God today, you realize that our inheritance isn't caught up in physical land. Yeah. Our inheritance is spiritual. And just like Israel at that point, there is more still to come for us. We may enjoy many of the blessings that God has and his promises right now here in this world, but there is still more for us to receive here. Especially those of us here who live here in America. We get to live and worship and do what we need to do for God without having to worry too much about the chaos and madness that goes on in some other countries. We talked about that earlier this morning in Bible study, how there are some countries who are predominantly Muslim, or who have dictators that require you to worship them. We get to freely serve God the way we need to, the way he has commanded us to today. And so, this is still not all that God has available to us. There are still many more who would become children of God, many more who will still yet have not yet received their inheritance. And that's why it's important for us to not get too comfortable and not grow complacent here in this world. We could just focus on ourselves and just try and get all that we can get and move on until that day when Jesus comes back. But how much better would we be than the people who are there in the world? The Apostle Paul made it clear that the life he was allowed to live was not just for him to focus on himself. He said it would be better for him to give in and go be with the Lord, but there was still work that needed to be done. Yeah. You know, I look at people like Eddie and Lily. They are retired. They have lived their life. They have raised their children. They have established their income for their retirement. They are set. They don't have to do anything else. They could have gone to any congregation and just been pew warmers and just let somebody else do all the work. But they realize that there is still work that needs to be done. There is a song in our songbook titled, "Lord, Send Me." It starts off saying, "There is much to do. There's work on every hand, heart. The cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers. I must active be. Wait, wilt thou, O Master? Here am I. Send me." And that's my attitude. That's the attitude I have. I don't have to work right now. I'm on disability because of my kidneys. I don't have to do anything. My car is paid for. The house we live in is paid for. We don't have to do anything. But I do what I do because there's work that needs to be done in the kingdom of God. Amen. Whatever it is that God has for me to do, I offer myself up to do. Here am I, Lord, send me. If I can't preach, then I will serve on the table. If I can't serve on the table, then I'll write a book. If I can't write a book, then I will do whatever else God has for me to do because there's still work that needs to be done. Verse 6, God tells them, "All the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon as far as the brook Mizrephoth, and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel, only divided by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you." Now, and God kept his word. He always keeps his word. He continues to do what he has promised, but keep in mind, they always had to do their part as well. And so the very reason why they don't have that land now is because their part was not fulfilled. Excuse me. We know through God's word and through the experiences of the Israelites so far why they did not receive their land. He told them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, how they would be blessed and how they would be cursed. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2, he says, And now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. He goes on in the next several verses after that, telling them how they would be blessed just by obeying his word. But in verse 15, he makes it clear. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then he goes on to tell them how they would be cursed. And so God pulls no punches, okay? He doesn't hold back. He doesn't, you know, surprise you with anything. What happens is really in your, the ball is in your court, how things turn out. You expect good things, then you have to live according to the covenant that you live with when it comes to God. They had a covenant, an agreement with God, and so do we. We live in a covenant and agreement with God. We live a righteous life, and he blesses our lives. And that's always really been the case.
Yeah.
There's a short story, but not really so short. I had to kind of abbreviate it in order for me to use it here. there's a short story about a man who had a dream where he went to heaven. And he is completely blown away about how beautiful everything is. The vibrance of all the colors. He arrives and he is greeted by the Apostle Peter, who takes him to this building that was immense in size. And it had a brilliant architecture. And he noticed that it had his name written on the side of the building. So he asks Peter, what is this palace that has my name on it? Peter replies, that's no palace. That's your warehouse. Peter replied, one of the warehouses. There is one of these warehouses for each person on the earth, and each warehouse is identified with that person's name. The building was filled with thousands upon thousands of shelves. The shelves were in perfectly uniform rows with exact spacing and symmetry. All angles appeared to form a perfect square. He said, I looked down one of the rows, the shelf continued as far as my eyes could see and appeared to have no end. Each of the shelves was filled with beautifully wrapped gifts of all shapes, colors, and sizes. He said, I looked at the tags on the surrounding presents and found that each one of the tags had my name on them as well. I turned to Peter and asked, what are all these gifts with my name on them? Peter brought me a chair that was sitting along one of the walls and asked me to be seated. Once I had taken my seat, Peter answered, these are all the gifts and blessings from God that you failed to receive. As I heard his words, my heart sank. A wave of pain flashed through my body at the thought of having rejected gifts from my God and my Savior. I looked into Peter's eyes with great concern. I said, I would never knowingly reject a gift from God. Why didn't I receive these gifts? Peter came to my side, placed his hand upon my shoulder, and said, I know you have a pure heart and real intent. Please let me teach you how the warehouse works. I followed Peter as we walked down and across several aisles. When he finally stopped, I noticed that all the shelves in this particular area were empty. Why are these shelves empty, I asked. These shelves contain all the blessings and gifts God gave to you, which required no effort on your part. Thus, the shelves are empty because they were all given to you while you were on the earth, answered Peter. I frowned, trying to understand, well, what about all the other shelves full of gifts? Why wasn't I given them? Some of the gifts required work or effort on your part before they could be obtained, Peter answered. We walked to a new section of the warehouse, and Peter had me look at the tags on the gifts. And I saw my name on one of the tags, and on another tag was written the requirement to receive the gift. The first tag I read said, pray and ask for it. I looked at each tag to find the same statement, pray and ask for it.
Amen.
You mean all I had to do to receive all the gifts in this warehouse was to pray and ask for them? I said. He said, you're getting ahead of me, said Peter. This section of the warehouse contains all the gifts God wanted to give you, and all that was required to receive them was to pray and ask for them. Heaven has warehouses full of undelivered gifts because many have not learned that God has countless gifts to give if one will only ask. Amen. My fellow apostle James taught, ye have not because you ask not. Peter, how was I supposed to ask for these gifts when I didn't even know they existed? You must pray and ask to know what to pray for, Peter said. You need to pray to find out what is in your warehouse. You should pray and ask God to tell you what gifts to pray for. It is a wise man who knows what to pray for, and you can know what to pray for by the Spirit. There is something I still don't understand. My warehouse is full of gifts, yet there were times on earth when I prayed and I asked for things and did not receive them. Can you please explain this? I asked. It could have been one of two reasons, Peter said. Either you were asking for something that was not in your warehouse, or what you were asking for required more than simply asking to receive. To demonstrate his point, Peter took me to another section of the warehouse and asked, and as I mentioned earlier, God had placed a requirement for the receipt of each gift. When you receive any gift from God, it's a result of fulfilling this requirement. Asking in prayer is only one of many possible requirements. I began to look at the tags on the gifts in this section and found the requirements: get married, attend church, start a business, care for the poor, adopt a child, visit a widow. Some of the gifts contained a long series of requirements to obtain the gift. As I looked through the many tags, Peter stood off to one side and related an experience from his earthly ministry. One day, a man brought his son who was possessed by a devil to me, and the other disciples had asked us to cure him, but we were unable to. Then Jesus came and rebuked the devil, and the child was cured that very hour. We asked Jesus, why were we unable to cast out the devil and cure the child? Jesus replied, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. From this experience, I learned that gifts can require more than just asking to receive. Peter paused to let his words sink in. Then Peter said, prayer is a form of work and is an appointed means for obtaining the greatest of God's gifts. Prayer is not to tell God which blessings and gifts he should give you, but to ask for gifts that God is already willing to give and is simply waiting for you to ask. One of the most repeated phrases by the Savior is, ask and ye shall receive. This passage is found over 40 times in the scriptures. Heaven has a warehouse of gifts for each person on the earth, but sadly, many of the gifts are never opened. Some, like the woman who approached Jesus while he was sitting by a well, she didn't recognize Jesus or the gift that he had for her. Jesus said to this woman, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you. I will give you these departing words. You have seen and know the gifts God has for you. As a child of God, accepting his gifts should be natural and instinctive, with the excitement of a child on Christmas morning. You can joyfully open your beautifully wrapped gifts from heaven. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This whole chapter, this whole book in Joshua is about the nation of Israel receiving their inheritance. We as children of God have an inheritance that's available to us. And although we have blessed lives today, what we have received so far is not all that there is for God to give us. Now, am I trying to say that there's a warehouse with your name on it in heaven? And there's no scriptures that tell me that. But what I do know for certain is that there's many of us who never experience what we fully can experience in this life because one thing or another is standing in the way. Not because God doesn't want to bless you, but just simply because sometimes we don't ask. Yeah. Sometimes because we're too afraid to go and claim what God has already got waiting for you. Like the nation of Israel didn't want to go in and claim the land. And sometimes we don't get that blessing because we have allowed sin to stand in the way. God is willing to bless our lives in tremendous ways. You look at the fact that Abraham asked for a child. God gave it to him. Joshua asked for the sun to stand still. And God gave it to him. Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's blessing. God gave it to him. Solomon asked for wisdom and he became the wisest man on the planet. What blessings are waiting for you in your life? What have you not received that you could have? What's waiting in your warehouse,
Amen.
If you will? God is willing to do so much in our lives. There's so much more that's possible for us. But if we are not willing to live according to his word, if we are not willing to go in and claim what it is that he has already said is available to us, how can we really expect to have the lives that we truly want or desire?
Amen.
This morning, Joshua and his nation, they were blessed to receive part of their blessing. They could have received so much more had they only done what God wanted them to. This morning, you can have everything that God has promised you and more by living according to his word.
Amen.
And making sure that he is a priority in your life. Lord, whatever your needs are, let them be known as together we come together and sing an invitation song.
When we walk with God.